slicing the rope, and Jackie knew now that probably Tom would never find him as he fell to the bottomless pit. As he looked back, he looked at Gus, who smiled, sort of a sneering smile, and he took his knife and slashed the rope in two. Jackie went crashing down into the canyon, but he remembered one thing. He must hold on to the rope. And as he was holding on to the rope, when he hit against the wall, he took his feet as a bumper and braced himself, and it almost knocked him loose, but he knew he had to hold on. He could hear Gus laughing, "Happy landing, boy!" And he laughed and left. Jackie was hanging on the rope, and he looked up. It was about 10 feet up that he had to get to. He tried to find crevices in the wall, someplace where he could stick a foot or a hand and still hold on with the other hand to the rope. And inch by inch, he began to crawl up the wall. Finally, when he got just a few feet from the top, all he had to do was just reach up now and grab the big rock, and he'd be back safely on the other side. But the wall was steep and slick, and he searched in the darkness, trying to find a place, but he couldn't. Finally, he decided he would have to try it, just hand over hand, if he had any strength left. He took a deep breath and started hand over hand going up the rope, inch by inch. He tried to reach up for the rock. He missed it by about 8 inches. His strength was given out. He just was hanging on there and almost said a prayer to himself, "Tom, if you were only here, somebody." And one more time, he tried it. And as he was going up, ready to reach for the rock and missing it by inches, he saw that the sharp rock was cutting the rope. And the strands began to unwirl. He knew that it was just a matter of time now until he reached the top. So with all his strength, he pulled, and just as he reached up to grab the rock, the rope broke. Luckily, his hand was still hanging onto the big rock. The rope disappeared down into the cavern. He never heard it hit. Now he was there dangling with his feet on the other side and his hands around the rock. Slowly, he began to inch himself up, and finally, he threw himself out of the cavern wall onto the sand. He lay there for a long time, just a huffing and a puffing, realizing what could have happened. On the other side, the candle was still burning that he had set down. He reached into his pocket for some more stubs of candles that he carried and matches and whatever he had in his pocket. And as he sat there thinking, things began to go through his head. If Gus is here, like Tom said, the Khayyam Jew must be here. And then he thought, how did Gus get on that side, and how is he going to get across? Or if he hid the Khayyam Jew on this side, how is he going to get across? And he thought about all these things, but the main thing he was going to do is look for the Khayyam Jew. He started looking all through the cave, and finally there was one sort of a tunnel that led down along the side of the cavern. And as it started getting narrower and narrower, the wall was coming in closer and closer, and finally all that was left was just a little ledge between the wall and the cavern. And as Jackie looked around holding the candle, he realized, well, there's no place here that you could hide a Khayyam jewel. He turned around very carefully so he wouldn't slip and started back. And as he turned, for some reason or another, his eyes caught a glimpse of what looked like steps carved into the wall, a slanting wall. He turned back and held the candle high, and sure enough, on the side were sort of notches that a person could go up on. And slowly he decided, well, he better take a look. So slowly he climbed up these notches, and when he got to the top, there was a sort of a flat place, big enough for him to sit down on. And as he looked around, he was disappointed because there was no Khayyam jewel. He turned around and he was going to crawl backwards on his hands and his feet so he didn't slip, because one slip and he would be in the bottom of the canyon. And as he did so, his hand slid over some loose sand. And when it did so, he saw something bright and shiny. He crawled back up and brushed away the sand. Holy cow! It's the Kiam jewel. It has to be. He picked it up and he stood there, sat there looking at that, just completely amazed. He had never seen anything like that in his life. And then a smile came across his face. Tom's going to be really happy when I say, "Surprise, Tom, surprise." He stuck it in his shirt and buttoned it up so that he could have both hands free. And he started to go down. And as he started to go down, he heard a familiar sound. Someone with heavy boots with sand crunching beneath him. And as he turned around, he looked way down and he saw a light. Someone carrying a light. He crawled way up to the top. And the light began to come forward, closer and closer. And finally it stopped at the bottom. And as this person held the lantern up so he could see to the top, Jackie recognized Gus. Gus was coming after the Kiam jewel. Little did he know that Jackie was up there too. He set the lantern down and started to climb up. Finally, he got almost to the top when he realized there was someone up there. "Who's there? Captain? Who is it?" Jackie didn't answer. Gus went for his knife and stuck it in his teeth. "I'm going to ask one more time, who's up there?" Jackie saw him coming. "It's me, Jackie." "Boy, what are you doing here? I saw you go in the cavern." He said, "Well, I got out of the cavern." He says, "That's impossible." He says, "Boy, you found the Kiam jewel, didn't you?" He says, "Yes, I found it." He said, that's nice. Now hand it over." "No." He said, "I'm not going to hand it over to you." "Oh, yes, you are. Yes, you are." He started to come forward with the knife in his teeth. He reached up and took it in his right hand. He says, "Boy, hand it over." He says, "No." Gus took one more step forward. Jackie took his foot and kicked him. Gus missed his grip and slid all the way to the bottom, just inches from the edge of the cavern. Gus got up. He was angry. "All right, boy, you want to play games?" He says, "This time, you won't get away with it." He says, "You try kicking again, will you?" He started up after him. "You stay back, Gus. Stay back." "No, boy. Now hand it over." He says, "Hand over the Kiam jewel. After all, Jackie, we're friends. Give me the Kiam jewel." And he said, "I'll let you go." "No." He says, "You wouldn't let me go." "Oh, boy, you hurt my feelings." "Of course I'll let you go. We're friends." Jackie says, "No." Gus was angry now, and he started up fast. He says, "All right, boy." He says, "You're not getting the Kiam jewel, but you know where you're going." And he started up after him. Jackie knew that he could not overpower Gus, and that he and the Kiam jewel. And then he thought, he and the Kiam jewel go in the... He reached into his shirt, pulled out the Kiam jewel. He says, "Gus, you take one more step." And he said, "I'm going to throw it." Gus stopped. "Oh, wait a minute, boy." He said, let's not get too hasty." He says, "Now let's think about this. You come one more step and I'm going to throw it." He says, "Back up, Gus." All right, boy." He says, "I'll back up." He said, "Now let's talk." He said, "After all, we are friends." He says, "All right. You have a way to get out of here because you came in a different way, didn't you?" "So that's right, boy." He says, I'll make a deal with you. I'll give you the Kiam jewel and you show me the way out." "Well, of course. You know that I'd make a deal like that. Now hand over the Kiam jewel and I'll let you go." Jackie says, "No." He says, "What do you mean, no? It's your deal." He says, "You back up all the way into the big room." He says, "I'll set the Kiam jewel down." And he says, "But I won't set it down until I see daylight somewhere coming into the cave." He says, and then that'll give me a chance to run. Oh, now, Jackie, you break my heart. You don't trust me. Jackie says, no, I don't. He says, all right. Jackie looked at him and says, move down, Gus. Gus moved way back. He says, keep going back. Jackie came down. Now they were in the big room. Gus looked at Jackie. He was about 50 feet away. He started to walk towards him. Gus, you take one more step and I'm going to throw the Kayam jewel into the cavern. He says, I know I'll be in there too. He says, maybe you will too when Tom finds out. Gus kept coming forward. Jackie took the Kayam jewel, held it above his head. He says, all right, Gus, here it goes. Jackie had taken the Kayam jewel because Gus wasn't exactly a trusting soul. Jackie held it above his head and went over to the edge and he says, I'm going to throw it. Jackie, now let's, what do you want me to do, Jackie? He says, I want you to keep away from me. He says, keep walking and show me the daylight. He says, all right, Jackie. So he kept walking and finally in the far distance, Jackie saw light. He says, there you are, boy. He says, you see the sunlight coming through way over there. That's the way out. Now hand me the jewel. He start walking. Stay where you are. We made a deal, boy. You said if I showed you daylight, you'd give me the Kayam jewel. He says, but I'm not going to give it to you this close. You go way back. Start going back into the cave. Now, wait a minute. I'm going to throw it. Wait a minute, boy. He says, what assurance do I have, Jackie, that you're not going to start running with the Kayam jewel? You don't. He says, but I made you a promise, and I keep promises. He said, I'm going to set it down when you get far enough back so it'll give me a head start. He said, Gus, I don't trust you. All right, now, Jackie, you break my heart. He says, you know that we're friends. He said, now hand me the Kayam jewel and let's walk out of here together. How's that? No. He says, get back. Get back. Gus start walking back, and finally he was about 100 yards back into the cave. Jackie took the Kayam jewel and set it down in the sand and started to run. And he ran and he ran and he ran. When he got to the daylight where the sun was coming in, he climbed out and looked around to see where he was. He couldn't get his bearings. He looked for the smoke. He knew that Tom would be having a fire and smoke going up all the time. All of a sudden he spotted a stream of smoke coming out of the trees and he headed in that direction. Every so often he would look back to see if Gus was chasing him. But he figured Gus wouldn't. Jackie was smart. He said, why would he chase him? He's got the Kayam jewel. What does he want with me? And Gus wasn't chasing him. Finally, when Jackie got to the place where he had left Tom, he says, Tom, Tom, Tom. He saw a fire. There was smoke, but there was no one there. Tom, he wondered what had happened to Tom. He sat down and waited. And all of a sudden, he heard some footsteps. Tom, Tom. And finally, he saw someone come around the big rock. He looked up. Tom, Jackie. He said, I thought I heard you yelling. Tom, guess what? I found the Kayam jewel. He said, I found the Kayam jewel. I really did. Ritzy came up and jumped all over him. He says, Ritzy, he said, no, I guess you shouldn't have been there. He said, but I found it. Tom smiled. He says, where is it, Jackie? Where is it? He says, well, I don't have it. Yeah, but you found it. I had to give it to Gus to get out alive. Gus has the Kayam jewel? Tom, I had to. He said he was going to... That's fine, Jackie. You did the right thing. You did the right thing. He's not going to go very far. He says, we'll pack up and track him. How's your foot, Tom? Oh, good as new. He said, I put some more splints on it. He says, look, he said, I jump around like a jackrabbit, but I can go pretty fast. Jackie laughed. He says, well, let's get after him, Tom. So they picked up their supplies and they headed down the mountainside. It was evening when they got to the bottom and they knew that they couldn't track him in the dark. They knew that he wouldn't travel in the dark either. So they made camp. And during the evening, Jackie told of his experiences in the cave. But Tom wondered, was there somebody else waiting for Gus? Was the captain alive? Would they ever see the Kiam Jewel? And if they didn't get the Kiam Jewel, would they go back, like Jackie would say, to the barbecue pit? Tom thought of a lot of things that evening, so did Jackie. But bright and early they got up. So Jackie climbed to the top of that rock over there, see if you can find any smoke. He climbed up to the top, and this time, luckily enough, far down in the valley, ahead of them, he saw smoke. He said, Tom, I think there's smoke. He said, it must be Gus. He said, he headed in that direction, I'm sure. I said, all right, Jackie, let's grab something to eat and hurry. They packed up and they started following. Soon they picked up his tracks and they knew they were on the right track. About this time, Gus was getting to the edge of the swamp. He was heading back the same way that Jackie and Tom had come. Jackie and Tom were catching up with him, and he looked back and saw them. Tom yelled, Gus, wait! Gus started. He was going to run around the entire marsh, the swamps, but he decided he could make time by cutting across. And he started across. Tom yelled at him, Gus, no, no, don't! But he kept on going, he kept on going. Jackie and Tom rushed up to the edge of the marsh and yelled at him. It was too late. They saw Gus standing up to his waist in the marshes. In his shirt, he had buttoned the Kiam Jewel. And as they watched him, he was getting shorter and shorter. Tom yelled, he said, it's quicksand, it's quicksand. Jackie looked very frightened. Tom, he said, the Kiam Jewel. The Kiam Jewel, it's going down, we'll never get it now. Jackie started running out. He said, no, Jackie, that won't do any good. He said, maybe I could reach him like we did. He said, get the rope, get the rope. So they got the rope. They tied it around Ritzy's collar. He says, Ritzy, the Kiam Jewel, swim out there. Got it? The Kiam Jewel. Jackie, he says, Ritzy, if you don't, you've got to listen to me. You know the Kiam Jewel? He said, it's in his shirt pocket. He says, go. He said, it's tied in the rag. He tied it up and before he put it in his shirt pocket. Hurry. Ritzy began to swim out towards Gus. Gus's head was almost covered. And pretty soon all they could see was two hands reaching up for anything to hold on to. About that time, Ritzy got there. And Gus's fingers felt the wet fur. And he grabbed Ritzy. And as he was going down, Ritzy started going with him. Jackie began to pull on the rope, and it didn't budge. It didn't budge at all. Tom grabbed her hold of it. Tom said, I'm sorry, Jackie. He said, I should have known better. He said, it wasn't a good idea. It wasn't. He said, he's got the death grip on the dog. He'll never let go. He says, I'll have to go out there. No, Tom, he says, you'll go down too. They both yanked at the rope. And this time, the rope gave. But it broke. And all they got was the end of the rope as they pulled it in. Tom looked frightened. He knew something had to be done immediately. He tied the rope around his waist and he tied the other end to a tree. He said, Jackie, you stay here. Jackie, let me go, Tom, with your foot. No, I'll go. He started to walk out there. And finally, he felt the bottom give way, and he started to go down. He started to swim. He knew he couldn't make it that far. Just about the time he was ready to turn back, he saw a head bob up. It was Ritzy. He had broken loose. He says, Ritzy! Ritzy started swimming towards him. And when he got close enough, he had something hanging out of his mouth. Tom reached over. He says, here, Ritzy, what is it? And he picked up this rag, and inside of the rag, he felt something. Pull in the rope, Jackie, pull in the rope. Jackie started pulling. And finally, when he got on solid ground, he opened it up. It was the Kiam Jewel. You got it, Tom, you got it. No, I didn't get it. Ritzy did. Finally, when they got on shore, Tom looked at Ritzy, and he could see that Ritzy, to break the death grip, he must have practically chewed off Gus's hand to break loose, because he could see specks of skin still hanging on his teeth. He didn't tell that to Jackie, but he knew that was the only way he could break the death's grip. When they got the Cayenne Jewel safely packed away, Tom and Jackie were real happy, and they started back the way they came, around the swamps. When they got to the clearing where the natives had dropped them before, they started to look around for them, but they were nowhere around. Tom said, well, I guess we're going to have to walk. So they start walking, but it was only a short time later when they heard something in the brush. I think we got company, Tom. He said, I hope they're friendly. And all of a sudden, natives darted out from behind the trees and behind the bushes. And Tom recognized the one native that spoke a little English. We wait for you to come back. He said some words, and the chair came out. And Jackie and Tom sat in the chair, relaxed, and headed back to the village. When they got to the village, the natives were all waiting, because this was the big moment when the white gods would return and bring back the Cayenne Jewel. They all gathered around Tom and Jackie. The chief came out, and all of a sudden, Tom reached in this bag that he was carrying, pulled out the Cayenne Jewel wrapped in this dirty piece of cloth that Gus had it in, unwrapped it, and held it up. And the minute they saw it, there was deadly silence. They looked startled, and they all went down on their hands and their knees and bowed their heads to the great totem pole. As they were doing this, the chief nodded to one of his men. He grabbed it and scampered up to the top of the totem pole and replaced the Cayenne Jewel. Finally, when they all got up and looked, their faces were complete amazement, because now they saw that the white gods, by some miracle, had performed magic. The Cayenne Jewel was back in its rightful place. That evening, there was a huge celebration. And of course, Jackie and Tom were the guests, honored guests. And the table, of course, was the ground, and they put the food on great big leaves. When it was all over, the chief came to Tom. Now we do something for you, that is through interpretation. And the man that spoke the little English told Tom what the chief had said. Jackie says, gee, you mean anything? Oh, he says, well, let's see, what could I take? Tom kind of smiled. He said, there's only one thing I want. He said, what's that, Tom? Just one thing? That's all. He says, what do you want, Jackie? He said, well, I don't know. He says, I could take home a lot of stuff. He said, what do you want, Tom? He said, well, I'll tell you. He says, I want to get back home as fast and as quickly as possible. Jackie looked at him. He says, Tom, how come I didn't think of that? He said, that's what I want too. They told the chief through interpretation, and he promised that the first thing in the morning they would have their outriggers, all the natives, and they would take them to the mainland where they would find a boat to take them back home. Tom had asked for one request, that they be taken to the mainland where they could get a boat, a big ship, to get back home. And the chief granted him that permission. So the next morning, bright and early, the whole camp was alive with natives. They were bringing flowers and throwing them in the water. Jackie and Tom were treated like gods. They put them on these outrigger boats, and the men got in and began to paddle away to the mainland through the coral reefs, as the women were chanting and singing and dancing and throwing flowers and petals into the water. And Jackie thought this was great, to be able to be celebrated like this, like someone of a famous character. So as they drifted away, the land began to sink into the horizon, and they kept looking forward to the mainland. It took several hours before they sighted the mainland. And when they got there, the natives said their goodbyes and left. Tom and Jackie looked around, and there were many big ships at the docks. Tom inquired at one of the places about a ship going back home. And the man says, "Well, you're lucky." He says, "There's one going to leave," he says, "in less than an hour." Tom says, "That's the one we want. The fastest one, the quickest one, and the sooner the better." He says, "Well, I'm sure you can book passage on it." So Tom hurried down to the wharf, booked passage on the ship, and the two of them were on their way home. Jackie was getting very anxious. But every so often he remembered, "If you ever come back here," he said, "there's going to be trouble." And he remembered the words of his uncle. He remembered the words of Gus, that he was supposed to get rid of him. And once in a while, he'd talk to Tom about it. And Tom would say, "Jackie, forget about it." He says, "As long as I'm around here and we're together," he says, "nobody's going to do anything." He says, "I'll guarantee it." Jackie kind of smiled. He says, "That's what I thought. That I'm not going to worry about it anymore." But the thing that worried Jackie, he kept asking, "When do we get back?" Because there was all kinds of things going through his mind. He wondered about the Martin family, about Juby and Elmer and all the other people that probably are still looking for him. So most of the time, Jackie and Tom and Ritzy would spend their time on deck just sitting and watching the waves, counting the days when they'd get home. Jackie got to be a good friend of the captain's, and the captain was showing him all about the boat and so forth, which Jackie enjoyed. But he kept asking the captain, "When will we dock at River City?" Finally, one morning, the captain said, "Jackie, come here." He said, "Looks like we've got a stiff wind, a good breeze, clear weather." He said, "What would you say if I told you we're docking tomorrow?" "Tomorrow?" He said, "You really mean it?" He said, "If things go right, we should be there tomorrow." Jackie rushed down and told Tom. He says, "I'll be home, Tom." He says, "We'll be home." And sure enough, the next day, far in the distance, Jackie kept looking. He said, "That's it, isn't it, Tom? Isn't that River City way over there?" He said, "Yes, that's it." Jackie could hardly wait when the ship finally pulled in and they lowered the gangplank. Jackie ran across the gangplank, looked around to see if Elmer or Mr. Martin or somebody was around, but there was no one around. Tom looked at Jackie because he looked disappointed. He said, "Well, you didn't expect them to be here all these weeks, do you? Months?" "Well, no." He said, "Then will they be surprised to see me when I go back home?" The two of them went downtown, and as they went by the general store, the man was putting some articles in the window, and he looked up and he saw Jackie. He knocked at the window. Jackie waved to him and said, "Hello." The man began to knock harder and harder. And he began to motion to, "Come in, come in. I think he wants to see. Tom said, "I think he wants to tell you something." He says, "I don't think he knows me." Finally, the man let go of what he was holding, set it down, and rushed out to the door. He says, "Boy, you. "What? I didn't do anything, sir." He says, "Come here." He says, "Aren't you the boy that came in here once looking for Jake Anderson?" Jackie turned red and frightened. "Yes, I did. But I'm not looking for him anymore. I don't want to see him." He says, "Well, whether you want to see him or not," he says, "Lawyer Johnson across the street is looking for you. I told him that you were in here one day." He says, "You better go over there and find out." He looked at Tom. He said, "Well, we'll go over and find out. Come on." They went across the street and walked into the office. And there was a elderly gentleman with glasses hanging down on his nose, working over some books, sitting on a high stool. Tom looked across at him and he didn't pay any attention. "Just a minute, I see you're there. I know you're there." He said, "I have good eyes. I can see you there." "Yeah, yes, sir." He finally laid down his pen, turned around on his chair. "Well, what can I do for you?" Tom says, "Well, I don't know." He said, "What do you mean you don't know? You come in here and tell me I can't do anything for you? What did you come in here for?" "The man across the street, the grocer, said that you wanted to see us." He put his glasses on, looked at him, put his glasses down, looked at him. "I don't even know you." Well, I'm sorry. I thought that's what we were told. Come on, Jackie. They started, just a minute.